In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Peak Pinnell and I'm joined by my intangible co-host. As always, it is the one, the only, Tempest the Wrestler.
I am Tempest the Wrestler. Thank you, Peak the Quinnell.
I don't like that one, I'll be honest. Let's not make that one stick. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain too much. Halfway through this week, which means we're that much closer to another weekend. A weekend where I don't have to watch a pay-per-view.
True. Yeah. God. Yeah, there's nothing this weekend. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
The weekend after, it's Takeover in Your House. And the weekend after that, it's Hell in a Cell.
It just never stops. Never stops, man.
Never stops.
This is the kind of thing that you look forward to when you are envisioning a career as a pro wrestling media person, entertainment person. And then when you're actually in it, it's like, I'd really love a Sunday night right about now.
Right? Yeah. Tell me about it. Well, we're going to get a Sunday night when it gets to August because SummerSlam's on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means for who's going to be reviewing. I was getting mixed up. I wanted to say reviewing, but I also wanted to say viewing and recording at the same time. And none of those words came out at all. Who's going to be reviewing SmackDown that day? Because that's also a Saturday. So, spoilers, I'm not going to be doing both live reactions for SummerSlam and doing the morning shift recovering. What's going on? Why can't I say the word reviewing? Reviewing SmackDown in the morning and the afternoon and then doing live reactions at night. It just ain't happening. So I don't know what we're going to do about that, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. Anyway, let's talk about NXT, which, as you can already tell, is going to be a wonderful episode because clearly my brain is very in gear for it. Where first thing we're going to be talking about is Adam Cole returning to the show for the first time in like 2 months since we've seen that guy. And it was a pretty cool return, not going to lie. Let's talk about it. So it started off, the opening match of this show was a triple threat match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship between Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, and Johnny Gargano. And the match itself, which we'll discuss briefly, I thought was really good. Really fun. Like, proper, really good pace, good storytelling, really fun spots. Like, a lot of, like, double moves, like, doing a double finger snap spot and a double dragon screw leg whip and stuff like that. Like, really cool, like, nice interactions between all three of them through the whole match and kept up a really good pace throughout the whole thing. lots and lots and lots of fun. I genuinely didn't know who was going to win. I would have assumed Kyle. Like, if there was going to be a winner, spoilers, there wasn't. If there was going to be a winner, I would have assumed that it would have been Kyle to have another, to have him go against, because he's the baby face out of the three of them, which makes the most sense to face Karrion Kross, although Kross is kind of a baby face anyway. Anyway, I'm digressing. It was super fun, and I really liked it. What were your thoughts on this match, Tempest?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really good. I find that when we have matches like this in NXT, sometimes this is a positive, sometimes this is a negative, where the flow of the match will kind of like remain stagnant. Sounds like a bad word. It sounds more negative than I intend it to.
Plateau.
But yeah, like a lot of these matches on the main roster even and other promotions will do a lot of this. You know, it'll go up and down. There'll be ebbs and flows with the match. There'll be high spot and then a low point and then a high spot and then a low point. I don't necessarily see the same thing in NXT, which is both refreshing. And sometimes I'm like, okay, ramp it up a little bit, ramp it up. Mm-hmm. You know, it just kind of like maintains the same pace throughout. They might have like a double down or in this case, a triple down, but they will often, it'll be like rotate through, you know, mm-hmm. one guy goes out, which is kind of like the tried and true formula for a lot of triple threat matches. But in this case, thought it worked. It was a really fun match. I was surprised that they opened this show, but by the end I wasn't, because obviously they did what they did. But I also didn't really know who was going to win. I probably also would have said Kyle, because, you know, babyface going up against Karrion Kross would have made the most sense. But still, enjoyable match.
Yeah, very, very fun. I thought it was really cool. Not like, you know, the NXT main events of recent times, not quite that level, but still really, really fun. Cool opener. Yeah. However, someone came out to ruin everyone's fun, and that was Adam Cole. They had a big triple down. On the outside, it was Kyle and Pete Dunne that were on the outside. And Adam Cole comes out returning for the first time since his match against Kyle O'Reilly at Take Up Stand and Deliver. And he came out with a chair, bashed both Kyle and Pete Dunne, got into the ring and hit a last shot onto Johnny Gargano as well. And then the match just kind of ends. William Regal comes out with security and is quite mad about Adam Cole ruining the match, which makes a lot of sense. He gets escorted out of the building. But then, yeah, everyone's just kind of gone from the ring. Like, they have an ad break and Adam Cole is still being escorted out of the building when you come back, but everyone else that was in the ring is just gone and the match ends, which is weird because there's no DQ, and also because it wasn't much of a beatdown. It was a single chair shot on each Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly and one last shot onto Johnny Gargano. And if we know anything about Johnny Gargano, he can kick out of about 17 different last shots. So, you know, I think if he'd have done something more severe, if he'd have come out and, you know, trapped Pete Dunne's arm in a chair and stamped on it, and then did the same to Kyle O'Reilly's ankle, and then like hit a chair shot to the head on Johnny Gargano and like knocked him out or something, then I probably would have bought it a little bit more. It was just because it was like he hit one thing on everyone, like a single chair shot to the back of Pete Dunne. It's like, okay, well, no match is off now. It's like, it's a triple threat. There's no DQs. Like, why is the match stopping? That bit was really dumb. It was cool to see Adam Cole back, though.
Yeah, this reminded me of a lot of things that I haven't liked about WWE over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, when the Brock Lesnar run-in on Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in the Hell in a Cell match, and it's, yes, like, oh, this match is over. I was like, what? Yeah. How is it over? How is this DQ? How is this no DQ triple threat match over now? And if they want to say, oh, it's because the referee, you know, got knocked out too, it's like, well, they've got other referees. Yeah. We've seen multiple times that if a referee gets knocked down, they will send in another referee to just continue reffing the match. Why? It's like they change the rules when it's convenient to them. And I don't like that. I don't like that there aren't consistent rules and stipulations in place for WWE matches, because like, there's no reason that this match should have ended here. Like you said, there wasn't enough of a beatdown. Like, if you pilmanize all three guys and make it so we can't have them continue this match, then okay, I might be with you a little bit more, but wasn't a fan of this finish. It just, And I didn't like that everyone just vanished afterwards. We didn't see any of the three guys for the rest of the show. It really did feel like the Adam Cole show from this point onwards, which I guess it's like, that's the point. This is his return episode. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you're going to have all five of these guys be in the main event of NXT TakeOver, you should probably give them a little bit more. Like, I don't know why they couldn't come out and brawl with Adam Cole during the segment later, like at least get some heat back, but I don't know. We'll get to that, but I was not a fan of this finish.
Yeah, it was very strange. And yet they properly Thanos'd away. It was like ad break, comeback, and no one's in the ring anymore. It's like, wait, but Adam Cole was in nearly the same position. So like they would have all had to go past him on the stage in order to leave during the ad break. And it's just like, it's just one of those things where it just takes you out and you just go, wait, how would that work though? And it's just one of things where you just think about the logistics of something rather than actually paying attention to what's happening, which is just weird. But it was a cool interference and it's great to see Adam Cole back. It was just the execution of it wasn't quite there. However, he then
you
had a promo
talking.
Segment. Later.
I just have to close my window very quickly. Sorry about that, but you go on.
You do that. However, I say I didn't like that initial Adam Cole bit. Oh my goodness. He had a promo segment later. Good God, Adam Cole's a good promo, isn't he? That's not a hot take. It's not news, but Adam Cole's a really bloody good promo because he comes out and he says that it was 2 years ago to the day where he became NXT champion. He calls out Karrion Kross and the two get into a back and forth promo. He gets a little bit shooty. Little bit blurring the lines between reality and you know, kayfabe and booking and things like that. And Cross says to Adam Cole, Cross comes out like no smoke, no shenanigans. It's just him and Scarlett come out. Scarlett's still got like weird face paint and everything, which is the spooky bit. But he comes out just in clothes, no super epic entrance. He just walks out with the title. And he says that when Cross signed on the dotted line, when he signed to come to NXT, Adam Cole stopped being special. And I was like, ooh, that's a good line. That's good. And then Adam Cole just comes back and says, the company has done everything in their power to make Karrion Kross feel special. He's got the lights. He's got the music. He's got the girl. What do they do to make Adam Cole feel special? They ring the friggin' bell. And I went, oh, that's a good line, isn't it?
It's a really good line.
Goodness me. I literally did that. I genuinely clapped my hands together. I was being like, oh, yes, Adam Cole. That was great. Such a good line. Karrion Kross gets fired up. They go back and forth a little bit more. And Kross says he wants everyone at In Your House to be a fatal five-way. Gargano, Dunn, O'Reilly, Cole, Kross. I really liked where William Regal came out. And he was saying, oh, yes, look, I know what you're trying to do, Adam. You're trying to insert yourself into the NXT Championship picture. And then Karrion Kross just yelled at Regal, not even looking at him, maintaining eye contact with Adam Cole, just yelled at him to shut up and say, I want to do what I want to do for this title match. Give me all of them at TakeOver In Your House. And then afterwards, Adam Cole goes out to the commentary table, chucks everything off the side of it, stands there and poses for a little bit. And as he's walking off, he just gets a water bottle and just throws it at Karrion Kross. I was like, this feels like real to a degree. It felt very like genuine, like it was blurring the lines a little bit, which to me is like the best thing you can do in wrestling is to actually like invest in this being like a real thing. And I don't think it's real because I think Adam Cole's a lovely person. But I think that, you know, this feels like this could be a very real, like, heat-infused feud of Adam Cole just being like, I can't believe you're dropping the ball when they've given you everything in this company and you're not as over as you should be. That's ridiculous kind of thing. I just really liked this promo segment. It was really good. I liked it.
Yeah, honestly, I thought it might have even been a little too good. In some places, if Karrion Kross was meant to be just like top babyface of NXT, I thought this promo would have been too honest because this will date me a little bit, but going back to like 2005 when John Cena became like face of WWE and everything.
Yeah.
A lot of what started getting people to turn on him was when he went up against people that the hardcore fans considered to be better than him. And he just kept beating everyone. Like, he beat Jericho, he beat Christian, he beat Kurt Angle, he beat Shawn Michaels, and people didn't like that. This, if Karrion Kross was just a full-blown babyface, which he's not, he's more of a tweener with some heel matches, some babyface matches. He's kind of in between there. If he was just a babyface, I thought Adam Cole was like super, super honest, because everything he said here wasn't too far off from the truth. You know, like, they've given Karrion Kross a lot, and his matches are still like, they could be really good, but they can also be clunky. You know, they're kind of hit and miss, usually more hits than misses, but still. Meanwhile, you've got Adam Cole, who is one of the best in-ring performers on this brand and anywhere else for that matter. So
when's the last time Adam Cole had a bad match?
That's a good question. It's all about taste, you know.
I genuinely cannot think of one. That's wild.
As far as like an actual match, yeah, I probably couldn't think of one. Maybe like the backlot brawl last year.
Yeah,
but that's,
you know,
more
what?
Of a cinematic thing.
You know what? That's fair. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah. But still, like, this promo, like you said, it felt real in that sense where I don't believe that he has these kind of feelings necessarily. Like, I bet he thinks, oh, I'm actually great. You know, give me my due that same way that all wrestlers kind of do. But I don't think Austin Jenkins is back there going like, Karrion Kross, I can't believe he's got the belt. It's my belt. You know, he's so overrated. You know, I don't think that's how he feels, but yeah. This segment was so easy to suspend your disbelief watching it, which, yes, to me, is a very big part of pro wrestling. If I can suspend my disbelief when watching someone cut a promo or have a match, then you've hooked me. And this was an excellent, excellent example of doing that without having to like use your real name and stuff like that. You know, they try and go full blown, like, shooty promo too often in WWE. And this wasn't that. This was just good pro wrestling. So I really enjoyed it. I will say Adam Cole hasn't gotten a singles win all year, but he's in the championship match.
Yeah.
I'm not as worked up over it as other people I've seen. I know Sean Ross App was not happy about this on Twitter, but it's WWE, it's NXT. I'm just kind of resigned to how things are. That being said, people don't like it when you compare things to AEW, but like, people show up in AEW and the rankings aren't perfect, but they have people go and get a lot of wins before they challenge for titles. Mm-hmm. And I do think that is a positive, you know. Like, they don't just give title shots to people. Like, you have to actually earn them. I would like to see people earning a few more of these title shots in NXT, you know. But that's just me. It's a very small negative in the grand scheme of this very excellent promo segment.
I'm not as worked up about it, I don't think, simply because I think he had such a good title reign. And I know it's been a little bit since he's held the title.
It's been a year.
God, it's been that long. Jesus.
It's been a year.
But I still think he's been at that kind of top of the card level where it doesn't feel out of place for him to go for the title is what I mean. It doesn't feel like, oh, what's this guy doing here? You know, it would be the same as if, you know, I think my SummerSlam main event that I'm really hoping for is Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Realistically, sure. John Cena shouldn't be getting a Universal title match, but he would not feel out of place going for it if he just came back and said, I'm on a Universal title match. Everyone go, okay. Like, yeah. John Cena, isn't it? And I feel the same way about Adam Cole. It's like, pretty much any time Adam Cole could just go, oh, I want an NXT title match. I go, okay, yeah, I can buy that. You're great. You fit.
The only counterpoint I have for that is that John Cena, I don't think, would come back and lose a bunch of matches before doing that.
Fair.
He's coming back with more of a blank slate, whereas Adam Cole hasn't won matches this year. Like, he's lost all of his matches, I think, with the exception of maybe a tag match. He's lost every match that he's had this year, which I do want to see wins and losses matter a little bit more, which I will get to later in this show. Don't you worry. But I get what you're saying. You know, again, it didn't bother me that much, but I don't think the champion just being like, I want to face him at the pay-per-view is enough to have him just be granted a title shot. But yeah, again, it doesn't bother me that much. Well, we'll get to the rest of it. Also, yes, people are pointing out you called him John Cena.
Did I really?
Yeah.
I'm tired. Leave me alone. I'm still catching up from Double or Nothing. And they set up the main event, which is going to be that Fatal 5-Way Takeover in your house. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They haven't really done a big multi-man match that's not involving a ladder in ages in NXT, like this at a Takeover. I'm really excited for this match. I think it's going to be an absolute stormer of a match. I think it's going to be great.
Well, we basically called this one, like, with the exception of Finn Balor, which I guess, you know, because we got that that singles match between he and Karrion Kross a few weeks ago, like, that makes up for it. I would have liked to have seen Finn Balor in this match, too, just for the sake of having, like, a six-pack challenge, because that's fun. But, the last time, especially for the men's championship, the last time we had a big multi-man match like this was, like, TakeOver Fatal 4-Way. And that was in 2014. Like, that was 7 years ago now. That wasn't recent. There were, like, other matches for different championships that were multi-person matches more recently than that. But as far as the top title, it's been a long time. So it'll be nice to have, like, some different energy in the main event spot this time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into your Ultra Chats. If you want to get in your Ultra Chats, you can do so by following the link on screen, and I believe in the pinned comment and in the description, wrestletalk.com/support. I think it's right there. Go get your Ultra Chats in, and we will be sure to get through every single one of your messages before we get out of here today. We've got one here from Born to be Wild that says, where was Hit Row on this episode? I missed the super cool rat group very much. Also, congrats on defeating the Tory World Order at Double or Nothing, LIW 444 Life. They had a backstage segment, or they had a parking lot segment, I should say, that we'll talk about later. but they didn't have anything super significant on this show. But we'll get into that later. LJ Mickey says, I don't like the Index storyline. It's stupid. It has bad acting. Makes no sense. However, Tempest. However, somehow I found myself enjoying and laughing to the whole 80s power ballad segment. And Tempest, sorry about the Maple Leafs. Thanks for the content.
It's okay. If you listen to the podcast, the audio only podcast version of this, I go into detail about my trials and tribulations as a Maple Leafs fan in the outro. So make sure that you listen for that. Also, want to point out very aptly from the AdNap 2 says the Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match for the title last year. I was thinking of just takeover matches, but you have a very good point there. The 4-Way Iron Man match for the vacant title is a very good shout.
Yes, I did forget about that one. I won't lie. But yes, let's do a couple more here. Let's do one from Josh Geonet that says, this message is for Tempest. How does it feel that the Leafs blew a 3-1 series lead? The Price is Right. Go Habs, go.
I mean, I've seen this movie before. I knew the ending. Yeah. That's why I bet $80 on them to lose. And that was the easiest money I've ever made. So you know what? You know who the real winner is here? Me with my money.
Yeah.
Not very good. Them. Those millionaire losers that can't win 4 games.
That is... That's some Louis Dangor good money right there. There's a couple of Ultra Chats here that were left over from yesterday's AEW, I believe. Oh, no, it's going to be from Raw, right? But they're about AEW. I'm so confused. They're Ultra Chats from yesterday's Raw stream about AEW that will do now anyway. Tyler Woodward said, sorry, it was meant to say that Cody has more plot armor than Batman does. The last match Cody lost was against Darby. I'm sick of him winning all the time. Put someone other than yourself. Put someone over other than yourself, Cody. FFS. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that he should have won this match in particular, but
no.
Cody puts over a lot of people. And
he does.
I feel like people kind of are quick to forget about that. Like, he doesn't win a lot of his pay-per-view matches. You know, he put Darby Allin over, he put MJF over, he put Chris Jericho over. He didn't win the ladder match at Revolution. He put Brody Lee over before their dog collar match. He's had a lot of big matches where he doesn't win, and I just want people to keep that in mind. There are a lot of things that you can absolutely justifiably criticize Cody Rhodes for. But I think he does a better job of putting over talent than people give him credit for.
True. Jack Nichols also said, I'm late to the AEW party. Even later here, apparently. Yep. I bet if Pac... Whoa. Hold up. Don't know if I want to read that one, if I'm honest.
He makes fun of JR for forgetting where Pac is from, basically.
Right. Yep. Newcastle is in Wales, but it's not. Anyway, what a pay-per-view. Yeah, I agree, Jack Nichols. It was good. Anyway. Let's get into the NXT review. Goodness me. Let's get into the rest of NXT here. Don't forget to get in your Ultra Chats. We'll get through every single one of them before we get out of here today. After that opening triple threat, also, just wanted to say, they went straight into a match on this episode. They did it. They pre-announced the match, and they just did it. They just went, here's the show. Here's the triple threat. The thumbs up. Like that.
I don't remember the last time they started with a promo. And that's good. I like it better this way.
Yeah.
Start the wrestling show with a wrestling match. I like this is like the new norm for NXT. I like that a lot.
Here's a question. Did we get any matches announced for next week? Or was it just for TakeOver?
I think it was just for TakeOver.
You know what that means? Next week's going to start with a promo. Now that they haven't pre-announced matches, it's going to start with a promo. Anyway, Yeah, so after that opening triple threat that we spoke about where Adam Cole came back, Adam Cole is getting escorted away by security when out runs Ember Moon. And I was like, why is she running out to the ring where all of the rest of the wrestlers are? There wasn't anyone else in the ring, just Ember Moon.
That's right. Ember versus Dakota was announced for next week. There you go.
You're right. You're right. Big brain.
Thank you, chat. You are right on that one.
And that will probably be the opener. There we go. Problem solved. Ember Moon runs out. She calls out Raquel Gonzalez. She comes down, gets beaten up a bit by Ember before she can get into the ring. And then Dakota Kai comes out from behind, beats up Ember Moon. And then security, who've just escorted Adam Cole away, come back down to the ring and had to escort Raquel and Dakota away as well because they were beating up Ember Moon too much. It was a chaotic start to NXT.
I was really hoping that like William Regal was just going to be running around the entire episode, just being like, stop fighting each other.
Yeah.
Stop ruining my show.
Yeah, it's great. I quite liked Fired Up Ember in that when she was out in the ring, but like I'll take this show hostage. I don't care. I just want Raquel to come out here. Ba-ba-da-ba-da. It was quite good, I thought.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I mean, I predicted that we would get Ember Moon versus Raquel Gonzalez at TakeOver, and that is the direction that they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Ember Moon, I think, has won two singles matches since like 2019 or something like that. So
sounds about right.
More title matches or more singles wins leading to a title match would have been appreciated. But that being said, I know what company I'm dealing with, and that's not really how they do things. So considering where we were a week ago, I think this is just fine.
Yeah. I will say as a whole, we'll talk about this more later, I assume. But by the time we got to the end of the show, I was like, the build to take over in your house was quite rushed, all things considered. Oh, yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that have just seemed to have been thrown together in the last couple of weeks, whereas, like, not much happened, like, the 3 weeks prior. And it's like, well, why weren't we building in those 3 weeks to get to this next one? Anyway, we'll talk about them more later. But first, we had a little parking lot confrontation with Hit Row arriving backstage, where Ever-Rise were there. Drake Maverick got into it with Hit Row as well. And Killian Dane came in to say, if you've got a problem with Drake, you've got a problem with me. And they had a little promo off between Swerve and Dane. And it was really cool. Hit Row are still awesome. It doesn't matter whether they're doing their own like pre-recorded awesome video promos that look and feel super different, or they're doing an in-ring promo, or they're doing matches, or they're having a parking lot confrontation. They're just really cool, and they're good at being themselves. Yeah. This was cool. I like this. And it's probably going to set up probably next week, I'd assume, Hit Row versus Drake and Dane.
Yeah,
cool.
And that works for me. That sounds like a fun little bit of wrestling. The only thing that I notice when I watch a segment like this is, and again, it's understandable because Alexander Wolfe ended up being released, but it does just kind of feel like that whole thing we went through with Imperium and Killian Dane and Drake Maverick over the last like month and a half just kind of was for nothing, which I get it. You can't really do much more with it because the crux of that story is now no longer with the company. But at the same time, I was like, well, that was kind of a waste of time then, wasn't it? But yeah, I mean, if we're moving forward, Hit Row, anything that Hit Row does, I'm basically invested in. I want to see them succeed in every sense of the word. So hopefully they get the win. If they lose this match, I will not be pleased.
Good God, don't do that. We then got a match between LA Knight and Jake Atlas. This was set up because Jake Atlas previously had beaten Cameron Grimes, and LA Knight was being like, well, I'm going to beat the guy that beat Cameron Grimes because I'm great. Cut a really cool little pre-match promo as he was walking down to the ring, just being like, you know, I'm the guy who's going to continue on the $1 million legacy. Ted DiBiase's chosen me. I'm the best. Cameron Grimes sucks. And I'm going to beat Jake Atlas. And I thought this was another very fun match. Wasn't a huge fan of, I felt like the pacing was a bit weird with people coming out into distractions. It wasn't like, let's just say what happened first and then I'll say my feelings. At like a few minutes into the match, Ted DiBiase comes out to watch on the ramp, comes down to like the bottom of the ramp. So he's basically at ringside and he's kind of watching for most of it, goes through like an ad break. LA Knight, I thought, actually did pretty well in this match in terms of like in-ring in terms of actual like in-ring quality, I thought it was pretty high for this match. I thought they both did very, very well. And DiBiase was just watching and admiring and things like that. And then at another point, Cameron Grimes comes out and starts chatting to Ted DiBiase, being like, "Hey, I know you've chosen Ted. I know you've chosen LA Knight, but I'm Cameron Grimes and I'm great." Just speaking to Ted DiBiase off to the side. And then LA Knight didn't really seem to get distracted by Grimes being there at all, despite the fact that he kept getting distracted because he kept trying to look back at DiBiase the whole time to prove to be like, "Hey, did you see that? I'm really good. Did make sure you saw that because I'm really great." But then when Cameron Grimes was there, he was just kind of like not distracted by Cameron's presence at all and didn't really acknowledge the fact he was there until he went to go up to the top rope to do like a big superplex. Cameron Grimes went up closer to the ring to speak to him. Then he got distracted, got crotched on the top rope. Jake Atlas hit his cartwheel DDT and got the win over LA Knight. Like, the storytelling beats were there. It just felt a little bit out of place in the order and the amount of time that they took to get there. But I still enjoyed the match. I also think it's cool that Jake Atlas won. It feels like he's getting a little bit of... what's the word I'm looking for? It's not quite a push. I'm not saying he's getting a push, but he's getting a couple wins behind him. He's getting a bit of notoriety, maybe.
He's getting the rub, as they say.
Kind of, I guess. Yeah, kind of. It's not the word I'm looking for, but yes, I guess so. And it also got announced that LA Knight's going to be facing Cameron Grimes at TakeOver, which is wild. And also, Ted DiBiase shook his head at LA Knight and walked off without him. So, yeah.
So we differ in our opinions on this match.
Sure.
Which is fine. This is what co-hosts do and what true tag team partners do. We don't get angry at each other for different opinions.
How will we coexist?
How will we coexist in a triple threat match?
Yeah.
Jillian the Selly.
Jillian the Selly.
So my thoughts on all this are, I, for one, thought this match was a little bit boring. And that might have just been because it went a lot longer than I thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. Like, it went through a commercial break when I had kind of anticipated a, like, more of a squash, like, more of a quick match. So that's one thing. Maybe that's just me. But that being said, I don't find LA Knight's offense to be terribly engaging. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very, like, slow. He's methodical. He's more of an old-school worker, which is fine. But there's a way to do that in a way that still is exciting without being like, "Oh, look at the flips and everything." Like, I think FTR and formerly the Revival were like the perfect example of how to do heel or even Grizzled Young Veterans for that matter. Like, they're really engaging in their heel work. It makes you invested in the match while you're watching it. And I think that's really good. But I didn't get that out of LA Knight's performance here. Also, I really don't like that this storyline is being built up as two guys that just keep losing matches. You know, I said in the written review that this made me feel a lot like the Tony Storm, Zoe Stark rivalry, where people involved are just losing. They just keep losing. You know, everyone involved has lost and now they're going to have another match. And then the winner will be just the best of these group of losers. I get it if Cameron Grimes is the one who has lost, because you're looking at him now as the babyface and he needs to overcome something. And LA Knight, on the other hand, has grabbed Ted DiBiase's attention and is holding it, and he's winning matches and you need to beat him in order to prove that you are the proper new $1 million man. I like that a lot. I don't like that now LA Knight has also lost, because now why would Ted DiBiase be interested in either one of these guys when he could just go and find someone on the roster who wins all their matches? Again, this is me being like, wins and losses matter. They matter. They matter to me. And sometimes it just feels like they don't matter, because I don't think Jake Atlas is going to move up the card at all out of this. I would like to see that. I like Jake Atlas a lot. I think he's great, but he has never been portrayed as someone who like is higher on the card than he is right now. If he ends up getting another cruiserweight championship match against Kushida in the next few weeks and loses, maybe I'll take my words back and say, okay, they did a good job with that. But for now, I don't really see it. And I would have preferred if these guys would have just won matches.
That's totally fair. I can see that perspective totally. I'd say that if Jake Atlas, if he challenges Kushida for Cruiserweight, that would be cool. Also, I think like NXT has a pretty decent track record of, like, you know, when like Zeta Ramir got the big upset victory against Tony Storm, and you know, we had our grievances with that anyway. But I will say that she's at least been on TV since then, which is cool. It's not like she's just someone who just showed up and was just like, she got the fluke win and she's never been seen again because she was just shown for the fluke win and that was it. Like, they've tried to position her on the card of being like, okay, well, you've got a win. Well, here's a few more opportunities. Here's a few matches. Oh, you've lost them. Well, that's a shame. But, you know, you got your big win against Tony Storm. I like the fact that Jake Atlas got a win, so he got another chance to prove himself here. He got a win again. So I'd hope that they would continue to at least give him more matches so he can at least try in kayfabe to get more wins. I think NXT at least does a decent job of that, which is nice.
Yeah, and that's the part where I will... But that's... See, I'm split in the middle here because I feel like Jake Atlas should not be the focus of this storyline, where you could have just had someone else in this position to lose to LA Knight, and someone that, you know, if you don't want to beat Jake Atlas, then have someone else be in this match and just lose to LA Knight. I would have just preferred to see LA Knight be the guy in this storyline to get the win. You know,
yeah.
Jake Atlas excluded, you can have him win matches. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Jake Atlas's success at all. Love Jake Atlas. But my point is more that I would have liked to have seen LA Knight win more than I would have liked to have seen Jake Atlas lose, if that makes sense.
Yes, I get you, yeah. I mean, what if Ted DiBiase just recruits Jake Atlas instead?
He's hey, like, hey, go you, for that. That's cool.
You both lost. I'm going to go with the guy who won.
If they do that, 100%, I'm fully on board. That, to me, sounds like a really fun idea.
That'd be cool. We then got a backstage confrontation between Oney Lorcan and Austin Theory, both of them saying that their respective person would have won the triple threat if it wasn't for Adam Cole. Wouldn't be surprised if we get a Lorcan Theory match. I think that'd actually be quite fun if they did that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. We then got that Adam Cole promo that we mentioned earlier. Candice and Indy are backstage doing a promo. Candice gets annoyed at the interviewer saying that, you know, my husband Johnny would have been number one contender right now, and he's going to go win the NXT championship and blah 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 blah. Turns to Indy. Indy's got headphones on because she's listening to 80s power ballads. As Candice finds out, she takes the headphones off and listens, and then she puts down the phone and the headphones on this little crate that's nearby so that you can hear that she's listening to 80s power ballads. Why would you do that? Why would you leave your phone?
I'll be on. I'm sure NXT is a lovely place to work with lovely people. That being said, I would never leave my headphones and phone just completely unattended backstage at a wrestling show.
No, that's not something that needs doing. But then later on, we'll talk about it now. It's another backstage segment later. Dexter Lumis comes in. He sees the phone and the headset, picks up the headset, puts it on, and walks off. Go ahead, Tempest.
He sheds a single tear. I don't want to repeat myself. And that's a key point of these reviews and everything. I don't want to just reiterate my points every week. But this, and I will be honest, I think this has more to do with the commentary later in the show during the Ways match than anything that happened here. But this was the week where I just said, you know what? This is no longer even funny to me, ironically. I'm tired of this storyline. I hate it. I've talked to a lot of people over the last week who are just like, this is a really unhealthy, dangerous relationship to be just portraying as a positive, haha, funny thing, when it's very clearly like stalker behavior and like stalker behavior. We say like serial killer behavior. We don't have any confirmed bodies, but like it's clearly being portrayed this way. So like when I have a lot of my friends in the business, some of which who are women, say this is like really dangerous and uncomfortable to be portraying this. It's just like, haha, funny thing. This guy is stalking this woman and he's very clearly unhinged. And we've got the babyface commentator saying like, oh, Index, oh, I can't believe that the love isn't finding a way. And you have to have the heel commentator, Wade Barrett, say, you would not in a million years let your daughter date this man. And Beth Phoenix having to be like, oh, but you know, she's got a good judge of character. Like, piss off. Actually piss off. I lost my mind watching the show last night. And again, I don't know how many people troll me when they're saying things about this storyline and how many people are genuine. Because again, I'm seeing people in the chat saying now, oh, you've missed the point of the storyline. No, I haven't. At no point have I missed the point of this storyline. And it's really, really concerning to me at some point that more people haven't got an issue with this, you know? Like, it's really, really weird that we've got a stalker storyline in NXT and it's being portrayed as, like, he's the good guy. We should be rooting for this stalker to end up with the woman that he's stalking. It's really, really, really concerning, people. If they did, like, you remember how people have gone back and looked at, like, the Triple H marrying Stephanie McMahon storyline and be like, that's really weird. You couldn't do that today. Oh, my God. That's crazy. It's like we're getting something similar here, where instead of just like drugging a woman and marrying her while she's passed out, we're now seeing someone just stalking this woman constantly, and it's being portrayed as a positive thing. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I really don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing else to add on top of that. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
it's just like, and the thing is, it's just not even good on top of that. Like, yeah. It has really troubling things as context to it, but also it's just not that engaging. It's just not that fun. I'm not, you know, I've said in previous weeks, I've enjoyed various segments to do with the story. I thought there's been some weeks where the acting's been funny or like, you know, it's been appealing. This was just like, yeah, you know, I'm over it. You know, I don't think I was ever on board, but I'm really over it now.
Yeah, I'm beyond over it. Like, it's really difficult and complicated and everything. Like, I see people in the chat saying like, oh, but she likes him. She can decide for herself, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not the point, guys. That's really not the point. Yeah. When you've got dangerous behavior out of one person, that doesn't mean that someone enjoying genuinely like criminal behavior is good. Like, like,
yeah,
it's like Joker and Harley Quinn. I don't know if you guys have ever seen comics or the show more than just Suicide Squad, but that's not a good relationship. It's very clearly portrayed. Like, it's the Joker. What? He's not boyfriend material. I'm losing
literally
my mind.
Literally the like epitome of an unhealthy and abusive relationship is Joker and Harley Quinn. God, that's amazing.
Another point I wanted to make and I've forgotten about it, but I mean, yeah, that's basically that's my thoughts on the whole thing. I wanted to say that again, I do enjoy like the performances of the people involved, like The Way and Dexter Lumis have all done a fine job portraying their characters. I don't know, like, whatever Dexter Lumis' real name, I'm sure he's a swell person. You know, I don't think he's actually a stalker serial killer.
Yeah.
But this storyline is just nauseating to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, after that, Xia Li had a promo against Mercedes Martinez. I like the fact that she's not having to cut promos in English. I always really enjoy it when people cut promos in their native languages. That just sounds better to me because people are way more comfortable doing it. It's the best. Having a takeover match, apparently.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I'm assuming that's probably going to be pre-show.
I assume. Thought so. Watching like, this, I saw it thinking this is a pre-show match.
Yeah. Sure. Mercedes Martinez cut a promo later as well. She says at TakeOver she's going to run through Xia Li because she beat her in the premise of the promo was that she beat her in the Mae Young Classic all that time ago and she embarrassed her and now she's going to get back. Cool. I'm glad they have some sort of continuity and it's not random. Like it.
Yeah.
Good job. Like that. We then got a match between, Kushida and newly debuted Carmelo Hayes, who was previously Christian Casanova. They really need to do this more. If they're like, just in general, in companies, if you've got newly debut talent and you want people to just be on board with them, have them just do a little sit down promo just to say who they are and why they're here. Easy. Like they did that all in the Cruiserweight Classic. That's all you needed to do, because you got on board with all these different people and the characters just by saying, this is why I wrestle. Here's who I am. Here's what I do. Cool. Carmelo Hayes got a little promo just saying that he wanted to, he's now in NXT. He believes he can be a top star and soon he's going to be Cruiserweight champion. Cool. I'm on board. I know who you are. I like the look of you. You're cool. Let's have a match. And it's against Kushida. Kushida's great. I do have a real big bone to pick here, though. And this goes for this whole show, right? There were two title matches on this show, right? And a number one contenders match, right? And a number one contenders match. Not one intangible on this show. Come on, NXT. Sort it out. Absolutely ridiculous. Not one intangible. But Cruiserweight Championship Open Challenge answered by Carmelo Hayes here. And I thought this was a fun little match. There was a couple of like pretty small botches, but nothing that really took away from the match itself. Fun. Both of them got in some really nice offense. Kushida won, managed to make him tap out on the hoverboard lock, a handshake post-match. Great. Fun.
Home run segment. Loved every minute of this. I had one absolutely tiny nitpicky thing where I just thought that some of Carmelo Hayes's offense could have been like a little bit snappier. Like some mm-hmm. of it felt a little bit slow, not quite as dynamic, but that's a very small thing. Everything else in this match was fantastic. Like I, again, was going to bring up exactly the same point of the Cruiserweight mm-hmm. Classic promo style segment, where I was like, that's so awesome. And absolutely everything that we've been saying that this show needs to do for like the last 5 years is just have these things to debut people. And they did it and it worked. Like it's a surefire way. As long as this guy has a little bit of charisma and can talk, just have them do that with every person that debuts, because I immediately saw that and was like, I like this guy. I hope he succeeds. And then he goes out and has a really fun match against a guy who in Kushida, who is like really great. And I'm like, I want to see Carmelo Hayes wrestle again next week. I'll be honest, like I've seen a few of Christian Casanova's matches in the past, but like not a ton of them by any means. Mm-hmm. And immediately watching this, I was like, that guy's a star. Let's put him in a storyline. Let's give him a full-blown character. Let's, you know, not push him to the championship picture or anything like that, but I want to see more out of him. They did an excellent job debuting this guy. And so often, I think I said last week that they don't do a very good job of debuting baby faces on this show, and just they make him sell the whole time. This was the complete opposite. They showed off his skills. He did a lot of like really cool, innovative offense with like a springboard leg drop. He did a rolling kick that I really liked. Just, ooh, good stuff. Absolutely loved this match. And I love the handshake afterwards, too. I like that they didn't just have him like turn on Kushida after the match. Like, it was just good. Everything about this was really good presentation.
Yep, 100% agreed. Also, counterpoint. They say, you think it will always work with the sit-down interviews, but SmackDown tried it with Lars Sullivan. No, no, no. These interviews, though, are actually them being themselves and not him saying, like, I was bullied. Because that doesn't work. That's Lars Sullivan being weird. And he's also sitting topless in an interview with Michael Cole. It's really strange where he's sitting in a suit. It just doesn't make any sense. This was just a little pre-edited thing of him just sitting down and just be like, hey. And it just felt very real. It's something that you can get on board with, because it feels like it's a real person talking to you. It's like we mentioned earlier in the Adam Cole promo. When stuff blurs that line where you can just drop your disbelief that this is a character and this is an actual person talking to you and you believe exactly. that, yeah. It's just going to make you more invested in it. And this is a dude just being like, hey, I'm Christian Casanova, or, you know, whatever his name is now, Carmelo Hayes, and I'm here to be the Cruiserweight champion. Great.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Awesome. We then got the announcement that it was Grimes versus Knight at TakeOver. We had a little backstage promo from MSK, and we had a little backstage promo from Frankie Monet saying that she's just getting started. All solid.
Yeah, cool.
Yep, All nice. Then had Zayda Ramir and Zoe Stark taking on The Way. I think this was solid. This was a decent little match. It's more of a squash match than anything, really. They didn't get all that much meaningful offense in Ramir and Stark. And The Way got the win. They hit the Wicked Stepsister in the... I've forgotten the name of Indy's springboard elbow now, but she hit the springboard elbow and they picked up the win. I thought it was cool. I thought that, you know, getting Zayda Ramir and Zoe Stark as a team makes sense, like putting them together with the kind of intertwining story they had together. And, like, you know, they're, okay, well, we had a few singles wins together. Let's see if we can become a good team. And then they failed. Cool. I like it. And, you know, and it makes sense that the women's champions would defeat the people who are not a tag team, who've literally come together and beat them decisively. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
This was the match where I was more distracted by the bickering between Wade Barrett and Beth Phoenix on commentary about the whole index thing. That being said, like, yeah, I thought the match itself was like really solid. It wasn't like spectacular, but it wasn't meant to be spectacular either. Like, it was just really solid, and you're giving your new women's tag team champions a few wins, which is something that they've sorely needed because they didn't win a whole lot of matches leading up to this. So I don't condone them just not winning matches en route to the championship, but now that they've got the championship, seeing that they've got some wins under their belt, I like that. I like that they're giving them wins, and especially, like you said, again, Zoe Stark and Zayda Ramir, they fit very well together as a tag team. Although I will say once again, it does kind of feel like no one really got over that much in the whole Zoe Stark, Toni Storm, Zayda Ramir thing. Like, I don't think anyone really moved up the card after everything was said and done, which was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can buy that. I mean, it was solid for Zoe Stark, who literally just debuted. I think she's become a more recognizable name now, at least on NXT. Sure, so if she does future stuff, people will be like, oh, it's that person that had that thing with Toni Storm, rather than being a complete no one. But yeah, she's not like, she's not really moved up the card necessarily. We then got the little promo from Mercedes Martinez. Ember Moon had a little backstage promo saying that she's going to beat Dakota next week, and at TakeOver she's going to beat Raquel. Spoilers, no she's not, but you know, it's nice to dream.
Should be a good match, though.
Should be a great match. Really looking forward to it. Ember should not be beating Raquel Gonzalez.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a takeover where there won't be any title changes, honestly. Which is fine. You can have, you can have matches that don't have title changes on a takeover. We've seen that before, but it does kind of feel like this is the takeover after the important takeover, if that makes sense, you know?
Well, yeah, there really is going to be no title changes, huh?
Yeah, I don't think MSK like is losing the tag titles to whoever they face. Don't think Raquel's losing. Don't think Karrion Kross is losing. I don't know if Kushida's going to even defend the title on the show, but I don't see him losing. So,
Bronson Reed won't. If he's facing Santos Escobar, he won't lose. Wow. There's going to be no title changes, huh? Anyway, we then got the, speaking of no title changes, we got the main event of MSK versus Legado del Fantasma for the tag team championships with still no intangibles. Come on, NXT, sort it out. My notes literally say no intangibles, refund right now. I don't know what they'd refund me yet. but again, this match was really fun. This was a good, solid main event. I'm not going to say it blew me away like some of the previous main events have passed, but this was really good fun. Logical storytelling. Also Diamond Mine opening soon. Sure. Still don't know what that is. Grizzled Young Veterans came out in the match trying to interfere, but before they actually could, Ciampa and Thatcher came out, beat them up, and dragged them to the back so they couldn't even get involved in the match at all. Cool. Like that continuing story. And I like the fact that like Ciampa and Thatcher are obsessed with getting back at Grizzled Young Vets, and they're like, we don't care about you. We're more focused on like MSK right now, which is really fun. And later on in the match, Escobar tried to interfere. He smashed Wesley into the Wesley. It's a really bad name. Like when you come up with a name and you get given Wesley, surely you say that out loud once and you go, wait, no, that's no. We didn't think about that when we wrote it down. But when you say it out loud, it's just Wesley. I can't have that be my name.
I can't imagine that they came up with Wesley and did not think that people would think Wesley.
Right?
Like, that has to be the joke, right? Like, there's someone backstage in NXT named Wesley, and they're just like, hey, we're going to name a character after you next.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Anyway, don't report that. I don't know that.
Yeah. But then Santos Escobar, shoves him into the steps. Legado come in and hit their tag team finish, but it gets broken up right at the last second. And then as Escobar's being annoyed on the outside, Bronson Reed comes in and squashes him against the cage wall, which was very fun. And then MSK gets to come back, hit their tag team finish, and win, retaining the belts. I like the fact that Bronson Reed kind of repaid the favor for MSK coming out, who, you know, that babyface is being good babyfaces. It was... He stayed out of the match until Escobar got himself involved, and then he came out and evened the odds. It was cool. Yeah. Also, Mod Mother, there was a Wesley Blake in WWE. No longer with the company. However, yes, there was a Wesley Blake. But Wesley, full name, Wesley. Anyway.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good main event. Good, solid stuff.
Yeah. No, it was not to the level of some of the more recent NXT main events. Like, I thought the Bronson Reed cage match was more fun. I thought the Finn Balor Karrion Kross match was better than this. But that being said, like, it was still like perfectly acceptable. It was still a high level TV main event, which is what you want. Maybe it was just because I didn't think there was a chance that Legado del Fantasma would win this match. So I wasn't as like heart pounding. Oh my God, what's going to happen? But it was still really good. It was really fun. And I, again, really do like Bronson Reed coming in and squashing Santos Escobar, kind of like you said, repaying MSK for what happened weeks ago. That's really good. I like baby faces working together. I've said that a lot since I've started these podcasts. I really like when baby faces are just all on the same page. I really like that. But the match was good. I will say, I said this in the written review, not a big fan of Wesley's selling in this match. Mm-hmm. And by selling, I mean lack thereof, because this isn't just unique to this match, because like tag teams and everything do this everywhere all the time. But I don't really like it when it's like sell, make the hot tag. The guy comes in, does three moves, tags the other guy so he can hit a double team move. And then that other guy just stays in and is now fresh. But you were just selling for like 5 minutes and you got a 20-second break. I don't like that in tag team matches, but that's not unique to this. So I won't harp on them too much for it. That being said, when he goes and gets pushed into the steps by Santos Escobar, rolled back in the ring and is like unconscious, comatose, out for the count, and then a minute later is up doing his finish and just celebrating like, yeah, we won. Ha, I've got my title. Oh, look at all three of us. We're champions. Yeah. I'm just like, you just spent the entire match selling and now you are just not hurt whatsoever. That part, I was like, oh man, that it felt a little PWG indie to me in not the best way. You know, so it again was like, it was fine. I really enjoyed the match, but I saw that and was like, when people yell at the Young Bucks for not selling in matches, I disagree. I think the Young Bucks are fantastic, but this was that kind of same criticism where I was just like, could probably be selling a little bit more here, pal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you on that one. Yeah. But overall, I thought this was a 4 out of 5 show. It was really good stuff. Stories were progressed. I'm really looking forward to the Fatal 5-Way at TakeOver. Thought that promo from Adam Cole was magic. And really solid main event. In-ring quality, I thought, was pretty high. Hated the fact that the triple threat ended by no contest. But yeah, solid show.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid show. I'm going to go 3 out of 5. I didn't like it quite as much as you did, but there were just like a couple things. I think it was really like the LA Knight Cameron Grimes match, or LA Knight Jake Atlas match, that you liked and I didn't. Just kind of like takes it down just a little bit of a peg. That being said, I would still say go watch the show. Like, it was still a good episode of NXT. They're all good episodes of NXT. But yeah, I don't know. It was not my favorite episode, but still good.
Let's get into your Ultra Chats here and see what you guys thought of the show. This is your last call for Ultra Chats. Make sure to get those in. Go into wrestletalk.com/support to get those in. And we'll make sure to get through every single one of your messages before the episode ends today. So, Manny Omega says, you might not know me, but I typed to take over WrestleTalk with the CGW crew and failed. So I was thinking, you guys are the key. So I have a WCW world title belt and I want to send it to you guys so you'll have your own Jam That Jam belt. That's very generous of you. I don't know how you'll be able to, because really the only address we can give you is the office address. And also, none of us are in the office. So hold that thought. Email us, support@wrestletalk.com, and we can see what we can do maybe. But that's very kind of you. Sadie6969 Deegan says, what up, y'all? Just got home from work and I wanted to say hi. Hi. There you go. Hi. I love Hit Row more than anything. They're boss AF. Love y'all. Still can't wait to get my LIW shirt. Hashtag LIW 444 life. I agree. For life. Yeah, LIW shirts are great. And also, Hit Row are fantastic.
Absolutely. Big thumbs up. Need more Hit Row. If Hit Row was on this show more, it would have been a 4 out of 5.
Hey, I'm a big fan of not every act being on every show every week. I really like the fact that NXT cycles it out, because then you miss people and you go, oh man, I haven't seen Hit Row in 2 weeks. I cannot wait to see them. And that makes me happy.
I agree. I'm just doing a bit.
I know.
Yeah, but people don't. People don't know when I'm doing it.
That's true. That's true. People don't know when you're doing a thing. And we've got one more here from Green Bastard. Oh, God, here we go. Yep. It says, surprised you haven't choked yet, Tempest, just like the Maple Leafs. Sports. Haha. Enjoy the golf course while the big boys play hockey. Still no hockey in June. For the laughs. Hashtag LIW for life. Hashtag 67 forever. Hashtag go Habs go.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah, he called them the Maple Laughs, which is very original. No one's ever said that before. Yeah, also funny thing, there was a bit of a talk recently because the playoffs have been pushed back this year because of COVID and everything, so this would have been the first time that the Maple Leafs would have ever played in the month of June, because you see they don't do well, Pete. They don't make it far in the playoffs to have games in June. But they lost on May 31st. So once again, won't be playing in June. It's okay. Yeah. I won my money. I'm satisfied.
That's totally fair. Touch goal. So we've got some emails here, Tempest, to go through today. Thank you, everyone that has emailed in. If you guys want to email in, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do so. And we can read out your emails on the podcast. We've got one here from Jack that comes in to say, hey, Lost Intangibles. Jack here, and in the words of Creed, it's been a while. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Thank you. Life has been hectic, but my high quality and affordable LIW t-shirt arrived. Nice. My Grim Fandango sleeve is nearly finished, and I'm ready to write in again. Congratulations on your big win at Double or Nothing, of course. We're one step closer to you guys overcoming El Fakador and Pete taking his rightful place as our champion at Jelly in the Celly. With that in mind, I'm still sour that you were robbed by Steven Larson at Quizzlemania. The favoritism on display by Adam and the camaraderie rallied against you by the other teams was sickening. So I propose to you some marriage game practice. You need to be two hearts beating as one. The two JTMS approved. Oh, Jack the Moist Sensation, him, right. Approved training questions of the week are, which wrestler has the best handshake and who's your favorite wrestle pet? I.e. Matilda, Damien, Black Reigns, Rat. By the time you're challenging again, you'll be the victorious rightful tag champs. Tempest will show that he's the Lanny Poffo of wrestle knowledge, and Chopper will be a double champion. Anyway, you guys rock. Stay choppy. LIW. For life. Thanks for the email, Jack. Which wrestler does have the best handshake? That's a really odd and specific question.
I shook hands with like a number of wrestlers.
True.
I don't know that any of those handshakes have like really stuck out in particular. I know for a while Dolph Ziggler's gimmick was that he would shake people's hands. I would hope that if you have that gimmick, that if, you know, you would be good at shaking hands, not just highlight something you're terrible at.
I may go for Rampage. Rampage Brown has a very firm, solid handshake. That's about it. I don't know. I don't have any other answers. I'm sorry.
I'll go with Batista because his hand is huge. Huge. That man's got like Kawhi Leonard, just massive, massive mitt. He's got a baseball mitt on his hand.
Yeah, makes sense. Favorite wrestle pet? Mine's got to be specifically the snake that was in the Double or Nothing bag that Jake Snake brought out. Specifically, that snake in particular is my favorite because it got yeeted to high heaven and back, and it was funny.
Yeah. See, like, all of that kind of stuff was all way before my time watching wrestling. They kind of got away from using animals in live stuff. You know who's my favorite wrestle pet is Hangman Page's horse. I know that horse passed away, but Hunter Horse Helmsley to me was, I saw that when he came out at All Out 2019 on a horse, and I was like, that's so cool. So that one.
Oh my God, sorry. I was just reading ahead to the next email and I got distracted. I agree with you. Thank you for the email, Jack. And thanks for ordering the LIW merch. Buy the t-shirt. Go to wrestleshop.com. Get your LIW merch today. We're the best. And yeah, we did win at Double or Nothing because we're the greatest, which means Jelly in the Celly, it's going to be me versus Tempest versus Laurie in a triple threat match. But don't worry, we've got a few tricks up our sleeves. I'm sure it'll be fine, right?
Hey, any kind of win for LIW is a win in general. It doesn't matter which of us comes away with the Jam That Championship, as long as it's one of us.
Exactly. We've got another email here from Ben that says, hello, Pete and Tempest. I heard your call for some dog photos. So here are some pictures of my very good boy. Hope you enjoy. Let's share that screen, Tempest, so you can see this.
Small and it's fluffy. It's fluffy, it's like a poodle.
So fluffy! Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Does he say what kind of dog it is?
No. That's the whole email that I read out.
It looks like it could be some sort of like mini poodle.
It's kind of like a kind of spaniel-y kind of.
Very cute.
Yeah, very cute. But I hope you know there's 12 photos to get through. Hold on. Oh no, wait. These are the same ones. He just said the same four three times. I just saw 12 photos and got excited. But thank you. That's not the only pet photos we've got today, though. Tempest.
Oh my.
We've got more from Katie. My. Says, hi, LIW. Congratulations on your well-deserved victory at Double or Nothing, and best of luck at Jelly and Nassetti. Thank you. Wanted to add my bunnies to the list of cute animal pictures. Miss Bunny Penny, what a brilliant name. Miss Bunny Penny is my thick princess, and Pippin is the knight with the black fluff. Tempest, your Dexalumis rants are the highlight of my wrestling infotainment week. It's the part of NXT I look forward to the most. I can't defend him anymore after his artsy murder lair last week, but by golly, I can't wait to see more of whatever the story is supposed to be because it still cracks me up. Pete, do you have any suggestions for somebody who wants to get into DMing? I haven't listened to All of War podcaster yet. I really liked it, but it was a little advanced for me currently. I have it saved for the future. I've listened to a few campaigns from the Adventure Zone and all of WrestleTalk doing CBW, and I'm eager to jump headfirst into the world of D&D. Thank you and LIW for forever. Not even for life, but forever. Thanks, Katie. First off, let's take a look at these bunnies.
Oh, I love rabbits. Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God. I saw a rabbit during one of my walks around my neighborhood the other day. And I just love bunny rabbits.
Oh man. Also, Miss Bunny Penny is the best name. Also, fun fact, you mentioned the name Pippin. One of the characters in a D&D campaign I play in, one of the characters is called Pippin, which is a great segue into my answer to your email about D&D and DMing. Best thing to do to get into DMing, just start doing it. That's a really lame answer, but like genuinely, just do it. Like, just grab some friends or whatever who are interested in playing, and then just, you can buy like pre-made adventures, so you don't have to like come up with your own world and stuff like that. You don't have to do any of the advanced like world building stuff. You can buy pre-made adventures so that you can just like pick it up and read. If you read the book, then you know what the adventure is supposed to be, and you can just DM it for your friends. There's also various YouTube videos of being like, how do you be a dungeon master? Watch the thing. There's one from like Mark Humes, who's a DM who's really good. He actually DMs for like a campaign done by Dungeons and Dragons. And he's the DM for that and for a thing called High Rollers. And also XP Level 3 is a great channel. How to Be the Dungeon Master, I think the video is actually called, which is a good one. So yeah. There's various bits up there, and I understand if you don't listen to War Podcaster, we talk about D&D because we love it. It's not really for newbies, you know. We're quite elite in our views of D&D. That's a lie. But yes, that's what I'd say. Also, what do you think about not being able to defend Dexter Lumis Tempest that Katie said?
Winning someone over. Mm-hmm. Hey, man. Because this is afterwards, I will have already lost my mind about Dexter Lumis on this episode. Don't know why. This was the episode where it jumped the shark for me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really significant happened.
I know we already recorded this earlier because we definitely don't record this before we actually do the show. But this was the episode where you thought it jumped the shark? This one?
Yep. I don't know why. Whew. Don't know why. This week broke me. I think it may have just been because of the commentary, I'll be honest.
Yeah. 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 I'm with you on that one. That's totally fair. Let's do one more email we've got today before we get out of here. We've got one, and the subject of the email is just Tempest Sanity.
Don't have a lot of that these days, folks. I'm afraid.
Yeah. They come in to say, hello, Intangibles. RLT Sandwich here. Yes, Pete, it totally is my real name. Excuse me. I know this is a wrestling podcast, but I have to ask. Hey, this is the bit where we don't usually talk about wrestling all that much, so fire away. Mm-hmm. How's Tempest doing after Game 7 between Toronto and Montreal? I know you mentioned it on the SmackDown pod last week, and I could hear the fear in his voice. Unfortunately, it seems that the darkest timeline has come true. Again. Outside of that, I hope all is well with you both. Remember, just a few days ago, Kenny Omega, Pac, and Orange Cassidy had a fantastic triple threat title match. See? Positives. Hashtag LIW444444 life.
All right. So I'll provide a little bit of context. Obviously, this is not the hockey podcast.
Mm.
This is, and I don't particularly want to become just the Steve Dangle of Wrestle Talk. He's a very shouty, angry Toronto Maple Leafs YouTuber.
Sure.
Who's become very successful, and I'm very happy for him. Very happy for his success. But for the sake of context, the Toronto Maple Leafs have not won the Stanley Cup since 1967. With their loss this year, they have set the record all time for the longest drought of 54 plus years, not winning the Stanley Cup. Additionally, they have not won a playoff round since 2004. It's been 17 years since they made it past the first round. Now, I started watching hockey more, like as someone who can actually watch and appreciate what he is seeing, basically not as a child, since about 2012, 2013 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they have had an epic collapse in 2013 against Boston Bruins, where they were leading in the seventh game, because all these series are played in a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
They were leading 4-1 in the third period with 10 minutes left, and they allowed four unanswered goals to lose the game. Scarring moment in our franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, they rebuilt the team and had a pretty good young core, you know, like they sold all their pieces, drafted well, developed players, had a really good team, made the playoffs in 2017 and lost in the first round, but it was okay. We were playing with house money. We weren't supposed to make the playoffs that year, but we made it and we gave a really good team a run for their money. It was a good series, learning experience, the whole deal. The next year, face Boston again. We're supposed to win this series. We lose in seven games again. And it's frustrating, but you know what? Maybe expectations were a little too high. The year after that, we play Boston again. We lose in seven games. Now it's a problem. We fire the coach. It's bad. It's really bad. It's like, what's going on here? I thought this core was really good. We signed one of the best players in the league to come home, play for his hometown team to a big contract. Still couldn't win. The year after that, this is pandemic. This is 2020. We have a qualifying round to make it into the playoffs. Lose in five games.
Oof.
To a team we should have beaten. This year, we sign every single piece that we need to sign. We get toughness. We get good defense. We have a good goalie. All of our best player, the guy we developed, wins the Rocket Richard for scoring the most goals of anyone in the entire league during the regular season. We finish in first place out in seven games. First round. Against a team that was, frankly, not good. So I like to think that when it comes to hockey, I don't consider myself like a fair weather fan. You know, it's not a matter of just like, oh, this team lost. Screw them. Hate this team. Meh. It's more like I have a very firm grasp on my expectations for this team. And I can tell when things are going poorly. Not to go off on a total tangent here, wait too late, but like a couple years ago, the Toronto Raptors, before they won the championship, go into a seven-game series against the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. You know who that is, Pete.
I do know who that is.
Yeah, you know who LeBron James is, because basketball is a real popular sport. We go in there, and I'm like, you know what? This is the year. We're going to win this in seven games. We lose game one, and I was like, we're going out in four. I could just see it. Like, there was a switch. We're not going to win. And we lost in four games.
Yeah.
This year, we go up 3-1. And I was like, we're going to win. We're going to go deep. We're going to have a good playoff run, the whole deal. We lose game five. And I'm like, that's a little troublesome. But we win game six. Everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. We lose game six. I was like, the series is over. Yeah. Over with a bullet. I've seen the ending of this movie before. And the ending is we lose. And you know what? I put $80, because that's all the app would allow me to bet. I put $80 on the Leafs to lose on Monday night. And it was the easiest money I have ever made in my life. I would have bet my life savings on them to lose that series. And they did. So thank you for letting me down again, Toronto. I've gone back and forth on it. It's like, I went for a walk on Monday night just to be like, yeah, for God's sake, this is my life. This is my life. I could have been born anywhere. I could have root for any team. It had to be this one. I went on a walk and I decided, you know what? Hockey's a dumb thing to care that much about. Sports in general. It's not worth getting worked up over. So I just kind of like put it behind me. During the games, I was full of rage and fury towards one player on our team in particular who has just been atrocious in the playoffs the last few years and went through a really bad negotiation, wanted to be paid superstar money, and he's getting paid $11 million and blah, blah, blah. Like, too much money to just go out there and say, oh, yeah, I just didn't start on time, didn't have it tonight, you know? And I don't think he should be on this team again next year. I think they should trade him. But at the same time, like, I had tweeted some things about not liking this player and then went back, deleted those tweets just because, like, it's just negative energy that I don't want to put into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like we need more positivity as opposed to negativity. And I was a little bit more negative than I wanted to be. So in general, I think my sanity has returned regarding the Maple Leafs. But over the weekend, it did a lot of up and down.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the hockey podcast today. Yeah, it's been a real good one. And also some basketball thrown in there too. I hope you guys enjoyed. But we do really have to go now because we are about to go live. But yeah, thanks you guys for listening to the NXT podcast. Appreciate it. We'll be back soon with the SmackDown one on Saturday. And then we've got stuff coming up next week. We've got Take Over In Your House, which I think we're going to be doing a review for on the Monday after, but not live reactions. I think that's what we're going to be doing anyway. And then we're going to be going towards Hell in a Cell and all that stuff, where Either I or Tempest will become your new Jam That Champion, and the Intangibles will be sitting at the top of WrestleTalk. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate you a lot, and we hope you're doing well. Take care. Stay safe. We love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.